So I'm talking to Dahlia expert Dave Gillam, and it's a really good time to get started with dahlias right now, ahead of the slugs, ahead of the other problems in the garden that they might have. And he's going to give us a few tips on what we should be doing right now with dahlias.
Well, it depends if you've lifted your tubers in the autumn or if they're still in the ground. If you've lifted them, it's time really to check that they're stored well, that they're not rotten. And it's also time to sort of get them into a bit of compost, a bit of warmth. Windowsill will be fine if you've not got a greenhouse or anything warmer than that, and start waking them up into growth. If they're in the ground, then just sort of time to put a bit more mulch on them because they might be starting to poke their heads up soon.
So what's your preferred method? What do you do?
As an exhibitor, we lift all of our tubers, not all of them, because we grow a lot of any one variety. I don't need 40 tubers just to produce 40 plants, so I tend to dig up about 6 or 10 of each, and then they're all there on heat and have been since December. And I take cuttings from those just to sort of regrow again the following year.
So what would be your preferred method? Do you mix things with the soil, like vermiculite or something?
Yeah, for rooting, we only want a small cutting, nothing more than about 3 inches in length, a good growing tip, a pair of leaves, and then the node that's still remaining just below where, or just above where we've cut it from the tuber. And then about a 50-50, I normally use perlite and just a good multi-purpose compost mixed together. And it's a balance of getting enough air so you don't get sort of a bit too humid, but not so dry that the cutting wilt. So it's finding that balance with the environment that you've got.
Because am I right in thinking dahlias don't like too much water?
They don't early on. Once they're in the ground and they're growing well away, then they love it as far as sort of flowering time. But quite often, while they're in pots and early stages, they haven't really built up a big enough root system to cope with too much water early on.
Now, you've won medals for your dahlias, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, lots of them.
so yours are pretty impressive. What's your sort of favourite style of head? Do you have a particular one, a pom-pom or something?
I change around. I've been growing them for the last very nearly 40 years, so I've sort of changed with what I've shown over the years. Recently, I was showing just giants, which are giant decorative, which are flowers probably 12 to 14 inches across in width and not far off of that in depth. So they're very, very big flowers, but I enjoyed that. But generally, over the years, I've grown across the board. So from the poms, which are the 2-inch little sort of ping pong balls on the sticks, up to the giants, which are, say, up to 12, 14 inch flowers.
Gosh, wow. Do they require a lot of additional feed to make a flower that big?
They need a little bit more than normal. What you've got to always remember is it's a bit like dogs. A greyhound's a greyhound. It'll always run fast, and you just have to give it the right feed to balance it. A giant is naturally going to produce giant flowers. You can't make a miniature that would be up to 4 inches a giant by feeding it lots, because it's just not in its genetics to do it. So it's just about getting the right varieties for each section and giving them the right amount of care, making sure that if they're hungry, they've got food, before they're dry, that they're watered, and keep sort of pest and disease free, really.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Slugs love a dahlia, don't they? So what do you do about that?
Well, I must admit, I do use pellets, but obviously the modern pellets now are not metaldehyde based.
Phosphoric acid, aren't they?
Yeah, and cornstarch. So they're not really the problem they were, but I think the right using them in the right way and at the right time means that you use them a lot less. So slugs generally breed in May time. So before the plants go out, I will just put a light scattering over the ground and make sure there's nothing there before you start. So very much a believer, if you don't have a problem, you never will have a problem. So if you just keep control of things rather than let them get out of hand, it's probably the best way, and you need to use a lot less measures to control it after.
Yeah, because we've had a wet February, haven't we? So
yeah,
potentially that's going to be a problem on the horizon for some gardeners, isn't it?
Yeah, we did quite well last year early on. It was sort of a dry start when they went in. And generally, it's at the early stages with dahlias. Once the plant gets away and probably gets above 12 inches in height, they sort of outgrow what the slugs can damage. And certainly at flowering time, they're not normally an issue. It's just generally earwigs at that point, or the little pesky green caterpillars that can cause damage to the flower. But yeah, it's just the early stages with slugs. Obviously, tubers emerging out the ground need an eye kept on them. The strolch I've used for stuff in the garden that's sustaining the borders, just to mulch, and that tends to certainly deter them. It doesn't stop them, but it reduces the impact a slug would have on the plant.
Now, you're vice chair of the National Dahlia Society, so these are popular flowers, aren't they? That must be a very large society.
They are now. The society itself it stands around about 2,000 members, paying members. We've got a Facebook page that sits sitting around about 60,000 members on that. So there's a big difference between loving the flower, which obviously we all do. We wouldn't do it to grow them, to show them, and put that much time in it if we didn't. But and putting your hand in the pocket and paying a membership fee to actually just loving the flower and being interested in trying to grow them better, which obviously the days of now, all this multimedia that's out there. I've got a YouTube channel myself, which gets used and viewed quite a lot because people want the information. They don't always want to join the society to do it, unfortunately.
Would you say they're quite easy plants to cultivate new styles and varieties of to provide new cultivars?
The fun part of it is that if you can just take seed from a dahlia, the outcome is so vast. Just to take seed from one variety pollinated with itself, we reckon there's around about 12,000 possible outcomes from just crossing it with itself. Some of those will be nice, some of those won't be quite so nice, but and if you cross with a different variety, then you times that again. So it's a real fun taking seed if that's what you want. I tend to grow established varieties because I want a guaranteed outcome. But yeah, propagating from seed is great fun, especially on the singles, the Bishop family and varieties like that you can easily take seed from, and you'll always generally get something similar to what it's come from. But if it's something different, it's your variety, it's new, you can call it what you like, you can call it Auntie June or whatever you want, and that's your variety. They're so diverse in the gene pool that there isn't two, you won't ever get the same variety from seed as what it come from.
That's lovely. Thanks very much, Dave.